Welcome, friends near and far, and those of you that have braved the elements here. It's always amazing to me that people aren't willing to cross the street if there's a little bit of inclement weather. But here you are. Shalom, we hope you're warm and dry at home. Jeff Sachs here from Web Yeshiva and Beit Knesset Mishkan Tzipora in Efrat. Masechet Kiddushin Daf Mem Bet Omud Bet 42b. I'll go back an inch to pick up where we last left off. Someone asked about the schedule. Bedikat Chametz in 2 weeks?
Three weeks.
I wanted to see who had the soul of a Yiddish mama in 3 weeks. Bedikat Chametz in 3 weeks from tonight. As if that makes you relaxed. But it was 2 weeks, you were ready to like... So on the night of Bedikat Chametz, we won't have shir. And on the night of Chol HaMoed, we won't have shir. And then we'll pick up again after. But the next week and the weekend, we have 2 more weeks before them. Well, then you can come to our house and help us move dishes. Shvi Shel Pesach is Tuesday night. So all the more reason that we can't meet. Everybody will be at the homework. Okay. We have 2 more shiurim. We have 2 more shiurim after this week. And then 2 weeks off.
Are we meeting Chol HaMoed?
No, but there's no Tuesday night of Chol HaMoed.
There is no Tuesday night of Chol HaMoed.
2 weeks off. The night of Bedikat Chametz and the night of Shvi Shel Pesach, there's no shiur. Oh, the following week, though, I'll have to let you know because I might be in Kuzlatz. Well, all right, we'll see. But anyway, the next 2 weeks we have Shir. But now let's actually learn something. Hello to everyone online. Here we are on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, about 8 lines down. The first word on the line is Vaha. Vaha de Omron. Well, no, you know what? Let's go back a little bit more than that. Go to 5 lines down. Omar Rava. See where we are? Rav is the last word on the line. Rav is the first. Omar is the last word. Rav is the first word on the sixth line. Omar Rava, had Omron. Pachot mishtut nikne mekach. When we say that if in a negotiation, in dividing property, we're trying to divide things equally, but if there's an error of more than 1/6, if it's less than 1/6 of an error from the accurate assessment, nikne mekach, then the sale stands. Lo amran ela delo shavei shaliach. That's only talking about a case when this was not being done through a shaliach, through a messenger. Right? When the person with interest in the property himself is there during the negotiation. Aval shavye shaliach, if he appointed a shaliach to represent him in the negotiations, Omar litikune shadarticha velo avute. No. When I appointed you my shaliach, I appointed you in order to represent my interests. Latikune. I did not represent you in order to make an ivut, in order to, how would you say?
Error.
To err, to misrepresent my interests. So if a shaliach messes up, shlichuto b'teila, and he's not, the thing didn't work. But if the person himself was, there, so it's his judgment, it's his interest to represent himself and to get it right.
He's dealing with an agent or a principal, because that could. Who would want to deal with an agent in that case where you get called to the carpet for what, a 5%?
No,
even 5%, because you. If it's not a 6, so what is there? Any...
No, but we're not talking about a sale. We're talking about when the Betdin is doing this procedure of dividing property, common property amongst your shim, amongst inheritors. Uh-huh. Right? This is not going into the hardware store.
Okay.
Right? No, it's not real estate. Not necessarily. We'll see in a moment. It's not real estate. Right? It's an estate, not love death for real estate.
Real estate and movable property.
Person that was that you were, let's say, like a heir. The person who were heir, right? Let's say, like, I lost the six when we're dividing up the estate. Like, also, like, move like that. Let's say, okay.
You could, yes. You don't have to. In other words, if you buy something in the store and you were overcharged, you're entitled to go back and you're not obligated to, right? And there's a certain amount of time after which everybody agrees. This happened to me at the new supermarket. They have that self-checkout thing, which has the illusion of being very convenient, but in fact gets messed up a lot. So I took a package of chicken. You know, they have like the prepackaged, you know, fresh chicken breasts with a barcode on it. There's two barcodes for some odd reason. So I swiped it and it came out, you know, the actual price was like 35 shekel, but it came out as like 54 shekel. So that's more than a sixth. But so I happened to notice. I'm not usually so good about noticing these things. So you have to get somebody to come and to fix it. And they told me that it was my fault because I swiped the wrong barcode. How was I supposed to know what barcode? Always the customer's fault. The customer is always wrong, at least in Israel. So, is that Michael Sandpearl?
It is indeed.
Oh, it's so nice to have you. Put on your video so we can see you. Where's your video? Oh, there you are. I see you.
Yeah.
No, now you turned it off. Michael, it's so nice to see you. You're joining us from Leeds.
Yes, I am indeed.
Okay, nice to see you. Michael was with me this past summer in Prague, and you're going to be with me in both Portugal and in
Germany. And in please, Germany. God. Please, God. Yeah.
No, it's so nice to see you.
Thank you.
Anyway, so I was saying, so they mess up on the thing. So I go back. I realize that there was a mistake. I go back. You have to argue with them. You have to explain to them, and they, whatever it is. But in 3 months from now, if I'm looking at my receipt and I have like the chicken, you know, still laying around, at a certain point, you lose it. You're entitled. You're not obligated to go and get your money back. Right.
One brother could say, you know what, I'll take less because it's more important to get the China set than it is to get the garage.
So then that's part of the negotiation. And that's done, whatever. You might also say, as sometimes happens, I'll take less because I want to maintain a good relationship with my brother. Right? Or you might take less because you think that they're going to beat you up. Or you might take less and then come to regret it. And I mentioned last week, the Gemara will get into this elsewhere, that at a certain point, you give up your rights, right? And as you can't come back 3 years later and say, oh, well, really, I was entitled to another 5 acres. And at a certain point, you know, the division of the property stands. So the Gemara goes on to say, V'had amran yeter b'shtut batel mekach lo amran ela de lo amar Nifligan Bashuma debedina. When we say that more than a sixth deviation from the actual price is right, the sale is canceled, that only applies. There's a lot of double negatives here. Mm-hmm. That only applies if you didn't do it in Bet Din. But if you do it through the assessment of Bet Din, so then when Bet Din makes this division, even if there is a greater than six deviation, the Gemara says, Aval Amar Niflog Bishuma de Betina Machron Kayam. But if it's done in Bet Din, in the sense, what might be the Hava Mina, or what might be the rationale for saying that Bet Din always gets it right, even when they get it wrong? What? So last time we saw this idea of Yafe Koch Betin, Koch Betin Yafe. Right? We can't undermine the authority of the Betin. But technically speaking, how does that work? Hefker Betin Hefker. Betin has this mysterious power of having authority over private individuals' property. And if there's some greater purpose, so then the Betin can say, yeah, okay, you got gypped 18% instead of the normal standard deviation of 16%. Okay, but we're gonna let it stand. We're gonna let it stand anyway. Maybe that's the mechanism by which it works.
If you go to a Betin, then your argument isn't with your brother. Your argument is with Betin. You don't have an argument with your brother. You have a problem. You have to take it up with Betin.
Maybe. Vahad Amran, Shtut Kane Umachzir Ona. And in the case that we mentioned last week or the week before, that remember we said, again, what do we just say? We said in a case where Betin is doing these dealings, so then it is what it is. In a case when you go to a neutral arbiter, so then you have this idea of more than a sixth or less than a sixth. But we said if it's exactly 1/6, so then the sale stands, but the person who profited from the error has to return the what's called the ona'a. Ona'a is technically. I'm sorry. I did. Go back. Titznan shuma dayanim shivchutu shtut od hotiru shtut machran batel. Bishimen gamliel omer kayam. Machran kayam. Right? That's just explaining what I just said. So vahad the omran shtut kana u machzir ona'a. So in this case, where we say that when it's exactly 1/6, right? So we say the sale is valid, but the person who profited from the error has to pay back the error, right? Ona'a, again, ona'a technically means fraud. But here, it's not fraud.
It's a classic.
Well, yeah, in other words, there's all different types of this. What's called ona'at dvarim. If somebody is kind of like a verbal oppression, right? But in terms of dine mamanot, ona'a is I've kind of swindled you, right? I've kind of swindled you. But then, obviously there's lav dafke ill will here.
You return only in the case where it's exactly 1/6.
Yeah.
Does this such a case even exist that it's exactly 1/6?
Again, whether it's an actual case or it's a kind of theoretical Gemara construct, I mean, in theory, it can be. If it's $6 and I overcharge you by $1, it's exactly 1/6.
Yeah, but prices are not exact ever.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble with my eyes. Give me some water. Give me a cup of water. Vahada Amran Shtut Kanao Machzir Ona, that case of where we say when it's exactly 1/6, you return the difference. Lo Amran Ella Dipolig Biiluye. That's when you divided up the property according to its value. Right? In other words, if we say, let's divide up this property according to its value, you do an assessment of the property. And you say, this is worth X and that's worth Y and this is worth another. So there, Taki, you're right. Remember the price is right? Right? So it's hard to get the exact value.
Is Vahada Amran Shtut Kana Mozir Ona'a Lo Amran Ela Be Metaltele
I'm sorry. I see. I'm having trouble with my eyes. I keep skipping lines here. You're right. I'm sorry. Go back a line. And my eyes get very dry. Can we turn off the heat is what's bothering me. My eyes get very dry and then I can't see. I'm sorry. Go back. You see the Dalit in the Masoros HaShatz. The first word on the line is Amar Mikran Kayam. Right? You see, those of you online, I just fixed the arrow. Vahad Omran Shtut Kana Umachzir Ona'a Lo Omran Ela B'metaltele. That's only talking about This is only talking about movable property, not real estate. Right? Who gets the grandfather clock? Who gets the china? Aval b'makarke, with real estate, immobilier, right? Landed property. Ein ona'a l'karkot. This whole idea of ona'a, of there being some kind of like fraud or error in the assessment, does not exist. Uve makarke. And when it comes to land, lo amran ella dipolig beiluye. And when we talk about dividing up the land, the error of 1/6 only applies the idea that we can cancel the division of property if there's an error of more than 1/6 is only when we're dividing it by value. In other words, there's a field. It's, I don't know, let's say it's 40 acres. And there are four brothers. So everybody gets 10 acres, right? Shouldn't that be obvious?
No.
No, because the property in the north section is worth a lot more than the property in the south. Because the property in the north is very near to a river, and it gets irrigated, and it's much more fertile. The property in the south is next to the mountain, and the land is very hard and it's not as fertile. So the division of the property by value, whoever gets the property in the south should get a bigger section in terms of acreage in order to get 25% of the value. So when you're dividing it by value, that's when we say shtut. Aval, meaning if I get gypped by 15%, it's my Aval bepilug bemishchata lo. But if you're dividing it up by measure, what's David? We've talked about this before. No doubt you remember you have a catalog of every conversation we've ever had about the Hebrew language. What does this mean to divide it bemishchata?
Like a rope.
Like a rope. What's the rope here? Rashi says, look at Rashi. Rashi in the previous Be'iluye Shelo Chalkum B'Chevel a Mishicha with a Chet, not with a Kaf. Although maybe, in other words, Limshoch means to pull, right? Like you go into the store. It says either Tchof, Push, or Mishoch with a Kaf to pull. But it could be this is one of the things we once discussed. It could be that these words. You know, sometimes in Hebrew, the kaf and the chaf, the sin and the samech, the letters that sound the same, sometimes in different layers of Hebrew, they interchange. But a mishicha is a somewhat obscure Mishnaic term that means, okay, with a chet, it means a rope or a leash, you know, like you'd pull an animal on. Right? Do you remember the context in which we discussed this? The Agnon. In Agnon's Maaseh Ha'ez, the boy finds his magic path to the land of Israel by tying a mishicha to the tail of the goat, who finds the magic cave. So obviously Agnon chooses, there's no ends of synonyms Agnon could have chosen. Chevel, chut, you know, you name it. But he chooses this rather obscure Mishnaic term because of its resonance with Mashiach. In a story about the return to Eretz Yisrael. But it could be that this term Mishicha for this cord, is it, that's what's Shemen HaMishcha? Besides the former name of this synagogue.
Why is it the anointed? Why is Mashiach? Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach. Why is it? Well, in other words, he's the anointed one, and the oil is called the anointing oil. But what does that word Mashiach mean? It doesn't really mean to anoint. I mean, that's how we translate it. But from what's the etymology? Because the oil is kind of smeared, pulled. They pull it because, you know, we're going to have a coronation. You know, there's a coronation coming up. When is the coronation? It's like in 2 months.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Michael, there you are. Are you invited?
No, I'm waiting for the invitation. I'm waiting.
He's in Leeds. I check
every day in the mail.
Besides the fact that I'm a monarchist, because the coronation of a British royal, which the world has not witnessed, I mean, not in my life, not in many of our lifetimes, some of our lifetimes. I don't want to, it's not polite to say.
Unfortunately, it's been in my lifetime, yeah.
Okay. But, so. So part of the ceremony of the coronation is this anointing of Charles. They take this holy oil, they put it on his head and on his breast and on his toes, like we did with the Kohen Gadol.
Yeah.
So it's called Shemen HaMishkan because it's pulled across the forehead, it's smeared across the forehead. So Mishichata, right? If you're doing the assessment with a cord, what does it mean? A cord? What kind of cord? What kind of rope? A yardstick, a tape measure. There are two ways.
You are saying that there the land is assumed to be of equal value.
So if you have a piece of property, right? If you have a set of china, and there are 12 dinner plates, and there are four brothers, how many plates does each brother get? Three plates?
Yeah.
So whenever you're dividing by set measure, right? So then we don't say that this error. Why do we give a margin of error of up to 1/6 when it comes to guessing the value of something?
Because
you can never, it's not just that you're guessing, it's that
there is no.
So the price is right. How do they do it? How do you know the value of a container of turtle wax?
Yes, the turtle wax people.
No, because they do an average. They would survey X number of retailers of the products, and that's how they would come up with what the correct answer was for the value.
The manufacturer suggested retail price.
Or maybe it's
been a very long time since I watched.
Maybe it's the MSRP. The manufacturer suggested real retail. Right? But whatever it is, they had some way. But they have to choose something because obviously we know that you could have two stores next to each other that are selling the same exact product. At different prices. Yeah. Well, you think you go into the candy store here, right? The same Mars bar costs exactly the same there as it does in the supermarket downstairs, as it does in the supermarket over there, as it does in the McCullough over there. No, there are deviances. So obviously we have to give you a kind of margin of error when trying to estimate a value. But when dividing up by set measure, so then low, then we do not allow for an error of up to 6. The kid de Rabba, according to the principle as taught by Rabba, the Omar Rabba, for Rabba said, "Kol davar shebemida v'shebemishkal v'shebeminyan afilu pachot nichtei ona'an nami chozer." If you're selling me eggs, and you're selling me a dozen eggs, and I get home, and I don't mean that one is, you know, that happens, one is cracked. Okay. You should have checked before. But I get home, I open the box, and there's only 10 eggs. Right? Is that more or less? That's exactly a case of 1/6. But what if there's 11 eggs? So if we go according to the principle that less than 1/6, buyer beware, I'm out of luck. Except what? No, you weren't selling me 12 shekel and 84 agarot worth of eggs. You were selling me 12 eggs, a dozen eggs. Right? That's what it has to be.
It also mentions the Mishkal.
So Mishkal. So
how much Mishkal is already, well, we got Mela. You know, you can say Mela because everyone eggs or whatever. But yeah. Mishkal is, it's getting closer to the what affects
it. Well, except you know that Mishkal is selling by weight, fair weights and measures, right? Even in the times of Tanakh, where scales and measures, even if you were an honest businessman, measures couldn't be as exactly precise as they are today. But within the measure of whatever a fair weight measure was, if you sell me a kilo of a grain and I get home and it's 900 grams of grain, well, that's less than a sixth.
Yeah.
But still, I can go and say, no, no, no. Right? This idea of...
That's very easily measurable.
Because the sixth is on the price, not on, but if the division of property, right? If we say, look, these 40 acres, every square inch is worth the same value. None is closer to a river. None is closer to a mountain. The northeast corner is as fertile as the southwest corner. There are four of us. How are we going to, what's the most logical way to divide it? Right? Upon its square, divide it into four. Either horizontal lines or vertical lines, or you tic-tac-toe it. So what do? We go out with our measuring tape, right? The surveyor's tools, and we divvy it up. But what, even there, you could make a mistake. So if we make a mistake by 5%, by 3%, the person can say, no, the division is void, and we have to re-divvy it up.
But it's void.
It's void.
It's not that you get reimbursed.
But right. it's void.
At 11 eggs instead of 12, I can't go to the store, and he says, here's your money. They can't do that.
If you're not willing to. If you're not.
But you have the right to refuse. Say, I want my 12 eggs.
I want my 12 eggs.
Yeah.
Because maybe.
Both in equity. Both in equity.
You can always waive your rights.
You can always waive your rights. And normal people do waive their rights all the time.
I'm trying to figure out the
right. But in the case of dividing the field into four quadrants,
mm-hmm.
where there was an error, so the brother that got gypped can go say, the other brother can say, look, I already started building a house on the property, right? I put up a fence, mm-hmm. Whatever. Would you be willing to take the monetary value of that 3% of your land? The brother says yes. Shalom al Yisrael.
But in
principle, you could say no.
But there's another part. You divide the land.
I had an uncle who they moved into a house out in the suburbs, and these nice houses on big pieces of property. And when they moved, all the backyards were common backyards.
Like what?
Common backyards. There was no fence that divided it up. And his neighbor put up, they wanted a fence in the backyard for the dog, for the kids, whatever reason. But they just kind of eyeballed it. And guess which way they erred, right? So they took, it wasn't a lot. They took a meter from that guy and 3 meters from that guy, and it wasn't a lot. But the other neighbors made a fuss, and they made him take down this fence and pull it back. But then, because they put this fence, it kind of encroached on the property, and he dug all these fence posts in their property. It was I remember it was this whole big fight in that neighborhood over something like this. Those people stood on their rights.
It always happened error in his favor. That's not a mistake anymore.
I mean, it was one project of putting, yeah.
Some more, some less.
Okay. I wouldn't call 3 meters a small amount.
Whatever, I don't remember exactly what it was. I was a little boy.
You take the property.
Try to speak up so people can hear.
If you take the property and you divide the four, and one brother gets dipped, 1/6, which there's two other brothers there.
Yeah. So in other words, if I had a blackboard, if it was one brother got 25%, another brother got 25%, one got 30%, and one got 20%. So then it's obvious it's two. Siri does not understand. That's why Siri's not allowed to learn Gemara. But if it's one got 30% and everybody else got, 3% less, so then you have to. The point is you have to redivide the whole thing. Let's go back to the Gemara.
A filu.
So anything that's a matter of measuring and weighing and counting and etc. That's this idea of devasher b'minyan, something which is sold by set quantities, right? Is a concept in halacha that applies in lots of different places, including bittul. Right. In other words, if something bad falls into a pot of something good, a drop of meat falls into a pot of milk, or vice versa. How much do you have to weigh it out in order to cancel it? But if you're talking about things that are like davasha b'minyan, things that are like whole objects, it carries more importance. I used to have a rule when I was a yeshiva guy. I used to have a rule. You go to a restaurant. You go into an Italian restaurant. So if you're a yeshiva guy, you're always hungry, because that's what it means to be a yeshiva guy. Never order ravioli in an Italian restaurant. Always order spaghetti. Why? You're laughing. There's a lot of Torah. Ravioli is a davasha b'minyan. In the kitchen, they tell you, put 12 raviolis on the plate. Spaghetti is not a davasha b'minyan. They can't bring out the plate unless the plate looks full. So you're going to get more spaghetti than you're going to get for ravioli. So a couple of years ago, I was out for dinner with a friend. That I'd been in yeshiva with years earlier. And I ordered ravioli. And he said, "You're breaking your rule. You should never order davasha b'minyan in an Italian restaurant." And I said, "Yes, but the codicil to the rule is that applies when you're a yeshiva guy. When you're a grown-up, order whatever you want. And if you're still hungry, order something else." Let's look for a second here. Look, you see these sheets? Where are they? Here, pass these around. This is just the halacha about what happens if a bet din makes an error in the assessment of the... So first you have the Rambam. This is the Rambam in Hilchot Mechira. Laws of sales. Betin shemachru nixei yitomim. The betin is selling off the property of the orphans. Why would betin do that? Why would betin do that? Doesn't betin care about the yitomim? Yeah, because the yitomim, the orphans, don't need the grandfather clock or the set of china. They need the cash. So the betin sells the property in order to have the cash, the revenue, to support the orphans. V'ta'u bein b'karka'ot bein b'metaltalin. And Betin makes an error in evaluating the property, whether we're talking about land or we're talking about movable property. Im ta'u b'pachot mishtut. If their error was less than 1/6, harizu mechila kehediot, then that's the way it is. Just like with any sale amongst private individuals, hediot, right? Ta'u b'shtut, but if they make an error of 1/6 and above, batel ha-mekach, then the sale is void. V'im ratzu shelo levatel ha-memkar v'yachziru ha-onaya machziri. But what about the person who bought the property, right? They really want that. They want that grandfather clock. So then they can keep it if they pay the difference, mm-hmm. right? So that it doesn't go above 1/6. Mm-hmm. Right? Lo yekoach hediot chamur mehen. Right? Because in other words, a private individual who can do this, shouldn't have more power than the betin has. Right? This is the general idea. The Shulchan Aruch says, the Shulchan Aruch brings a similar idea. Betin shechrizu kira'ui batku yafev diktku b'shuma. The betin, they make an assessment and they evaluate it very carefully. Af al pi
sheta'u v'machru shaveh mana b'matayim. But they make a mistake and they sell something that's worth 100 for 200. Oh, matayim b'mana. They sell something that's worth 200 for 100. That's bigger than a sixth. Yeah, that's 50%. Or 100%, depending on how you look at it. Harei machran kayam. But there, the sale stands. Aval im lo batku b'shuma. But if they didn't do this assessment of the betin, says the Shulchan Aruch, v'lo katvu igeret bikoret shehi duk hashuma v'hachrezah. That, like a kind of report. Like the what do you call that? What, how do you call a shamai in English?
Assessor.
An assessor. Yeah. You know, like when your car, Rachmana says to go into the shop, the shuma, the shamai comes, the assessor comes to tell you how much the value of the car is. It's a pachot b'shtud mechran kayam. V'kein im machran machru karka be'et she'enam tzrichim lahachriz aleha v'ta'u u'patchu shtud o hotiru shtud, less than a sixth or more than a sixth, mechran batel. But the Ramah says, af al pi shehechrizu, even though they kind of had this public, what's the word for that in English? Were you... Not an auction, but like public note. You give public notice for the sale. Afilu ta'u b'kefel ha-mekach kayam. Even if it's an error of double, the sale stands if done by the betin in that way. Pachot mishtut, says the Shulchan Aruch, machran kayam ve'eino tzarech lachzir ona. Okay, we'll go back. Now let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara now picks up on a new topic, going back to things related to shlichut. Wait a second. Let me see if was there anything else I wanted to say about that.
I'm looking up. I'm going to say that you're talking about the mashach. There's opinion that a lot of these words in Hebrew that begin with mem shin, like there's the whole opinion that maybe there's two letter roots, not just a three letter root.
Yeah.
And you can see sometimes you'll see like a two letter root that has a lot of the words said about the same meaning. So you can see that with a mashach with a chet, mashach with a chaf, mem shin hey, moshe, there's even meshach, there's other ones. Yeah. Like, emesh was, well, there's a lot of these, they talk about, they all kind of mean to pull, to transfer, that kind of thing.
Mm. Why is emesh?
I don't remember, but I heard
like
about it.
Pulling back to yesterday. Yeah,
maybe
So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch have very different
opinions here.
Very different.
Yeah, well, that happens. So the Gemara here says, "V'ha ditznan hasholech et habi'ira biyad cheresh shota v'katan." Yeah, we're going to start this topic tonight, but we're not going to get it in. We're finishing it. V'ha ditznan. There's a Mishnah in Masechet Ketubot. V'had etznan, in Ketubot? No, Bava Kama. I'm sorry. V'had etznan, ha-shaleach et ha-bi'ira b'yad cheresh shota v'katan. You send a torch. You send a fire. You send something that, you know, is potentially dangerous with a three categories of people that don't generally have responsibility for their actions. Hatur midinei adam v'chayev b'dinei shemayim. If that, it's hard to call them a shaliach. It's not a shaliach with a capital shin, because these are not people that can accept shlichut, but they're deliverers. So the person who sends this potential instrument of destruction in the hands of a child, right? And as you take a torch. You ever been to one of those Hachnasa Sefer Torahs, where you have these little kids walking around with, or like a Simchas Torah in a Haredi shul? These kids like have a stick with a flag, with an apple, with a candle, and they're dancing around in a crowded shul where everything is highly flammable, particularly the 100% alcohol people are drinking. Right? It's a miracle. It's a miracle the whole place doesn't go up in smoke. But in other words, if you give something to a kid, that's the definition of a child. It's you're putting your property, al keren atzvi, not you. Right? In other words, it's like throwing it away. When we were little, we were walking home one on a Friday night, And our Shalom, who's now quite big and married, was then very small and in an agalad. He was kvetchi. We didn't have like a toy for him. So my wife gave him the house keys to play with, to jingle and jangle, you know, like a rattle. I said, you should never give a child, an infant, keys to hold. But this is Friday night. We're like walking home to our apartment from where we had dinner. And she said, no, no, it's okay. And sure enough, what happens? Boom, right down the sewer. Right down the sewer.
His aim was so good.
Yeah. So in other words, you give a child something to hold. You never know what's going to happen. You give a child a torch to hold and something gets burned down. So you, technically, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, you cannot be held financially accountable in a court of law for any damage because technically, what? You didn't cause the damage. Right. But you are obligated in heaven, right? You'll be held accountable at the Betin Shalmala. Shilach biyad pik. Wait a second. Shileach biyad pikeach. But if you give it to an intelligent, mature adult, somebody who is responsible for his actions, pikeach chayav. That person, that shileach is chayav. And as if I give you, you're a responsible adult, intelligent person. So if I give you a loaded gun, and I tell you, deliver this over there. And God forbid something happens, right? It was like this case in Hollywood now with, what's his name? The actor, Alec Baldwin, right? Who's responsible in a case like that, right? So there's going to be a trial. It'd be interesting. I'm sure some rabbi has already given a shiur on, like, you know, the din of Alec Baldwin, Minatora. So. You're responsible. God forbid something should happen.
The shaliach, not the shaliach.
The shaliach. The amai. I didn't tell you go shoot somebody. I didn't tell you burn down somebody's house. I said take this lamp.
Not the principal.
Well, we'll see. The amai. So why should this be? Ben is jumping out of his seat. He wants to know what's going on here. No. What? We want to what happened to the key? We didn't. We thank God. Thank God, this was when we were young and we lived in Yerushalayim, and we had a spare key by friends, like the friends on the, but it was on the, this was late Friday night, and these friends, this was in, we were in Baca, and these people were in Katamon or something. Oh, no. So we had to like, what? I assure you, I was really unhappy. V'amai, so why should this be? Nema shlucho shel adam kimoto. We have a principle that a shaliach is an extension of the person.
Why? It's an intelligence idea.
Yeah.
Why? Not just like a justification. You're wondering why.
Yeah. Why should this be? Why should the shaliach be? Why should Alec Baldwin be responsible? It should be the guy that handed in the gun. Shlucho shel adam kemoto. Alec Baldwin is not exactly a good case because he wasn't a shaliach and he didn't think it was a gun and he didn't.
Like a terrorist, you know, they always ask him, Binger, you know, like.
Did someone give you something? Right. So shlucho shel adam kemoto. Who should be responsible? The person who sent you on your way. You hire a hitman. The hitman goes and bumps off your enemy.
You're both responsible.
Well, it's not fair. You prepared ahead in the Gemara. Right? Mm-hmm. Are you both responsible?
You say it's
Yeah.
But what
is that? So Shani Hatam, it's not even learning ahead in the Gemara. It's the next line. Shani Hatam, that case is different. De'ein shaliach lidvar aveira. Because we say that Shlichut, if I say, take this ring and go to Rachel and tell Rachel that the Shaliach wants to marry you, Kedat Moshe Yisrael, you, the Shaliach, are my extension. You, the Shaliach, are Shlucho Shaladam Kemoto. And Rachel is not married to you.
even though you're the one that puts the ring on her finger. Rumpel is married to me. You are my the extension of my long arm. But if I tell you, go and burn down Rachel's house. If she doesn't love me, to heck with her. Go burn a house down. Right? So we say, Ein Shaliach, that's an Avera. You're not allowed to burn somebody else's house down. Ein Shaliach L'dvar Avera. When I send you to do that, well, what happens in that case? When we say that a person cannot be a Shaliach, cannot be an emissary to perform something which is forbidden, an Avera, what do we mean by that?
Talk about it here in the case of Shaliach L'dvar. Apparently, it's not just a question of somebody doing, like, breaking a mitzvah. You're talking about doing any kind of damage or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't intended originally. Like,
yeah, well, causing damage is an Avera. Nezikin is an Avera. To intentionally cause a damage is an
Avera. No, you didn't do an Avera to carry the torch.
Well,
carrying it's a.
No. It could be entirely unintentional. It's not there. You have to pay the consequences for it. I don't think it's right. There.
I'm talking a case question.
Well, that's not the case of the show. That's the big rub. You had
exactly. Shlichut does not happen. If I send you to set
is that true?
To my former fiance's house and you actually do it, that's on you.
Right, we'll have to see. We'll have to see if that's the case. When we say Ein Shliach L'dvar Avera, does it mean A, the Shlichut doesn't count? Meaning the Shlichut never comes into effect. And if you go off on your own and do this thing, will no one rid me of this troublesome priest? Right? But this is what's his name? Michael Cohen, Trump's lawyer, says. Trump never had to tell you to lie. He never had to tell his lawyer to lie. Right? You knew what he was saying. Right? You know, like when the mafia, when the Godfather comes and says, nice story you have here. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. He never made a threat. But he understood what he was saying. So if the Mishaleach says, go off and burn down her house, right? So that has no halachic significance because you're not allowed to do that. And if you take that message and figure the boss wants me to go burn down the house, that should be on you. You're responsible for that action. Right? And the implication being the Godfather is off the hook. It's, exactly. Or do we say,
both on that.
Ein shlichut l'dvar avera, right? You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it. But if you do it, it's done. Meaning, it worked. You fulfilled something on his behalf. And it's just a question of, well, let's look at it this way. Look at the Gemara.
Where do you get the angel?
V'haditznan ha-shalech et ha-bi'ira b'yad chere shot v'katon. Shani hatam, de'en shalech u'dvar avera. De'amrinan, what's the reason for ein shalech u'dvar avera? De'amrinan, divrei harav, v'divrei talmid, divrei mishom'in. Who should you listen to? If I tell you, do this thing for me, which is forbidden, what should your response be?
No.
You may be the Godfather, but there's a Father in heaven. Right? And my first responsibilities are to him, on high. Divrei Harav. It's a metaphor. Right? The command of the rabbi and the command of the student. Who should you listen to? Right? So in other words, your obligations to heaven supersede the instructions that the mashaleach, that the sender, gives to the shaliach. He told me to burn down a field. I know I'm not allowed to burn down a field. You have to use your judgment.
But it's still strange in this case because, like, if I tell, you know, let's not even talk about the katan, because we wouldn't understand. It's going to be chaos. I give the Pekach the torch. I say, be careful with it. And he's not careful. So, like, there's no, where, how is this possible issue of him, you know, the Shaliach, the Pekach shouldn't have taken it in the first place? It's a very weird, it's, I don't really, I don't know if you're right. Wait.
Something with their torch on the way.
Let me, we're coming to the end. We're in the middle of something, which is never a good position to be in. But let me ask a question like this. There are all types of marriages in quotes, that are not marriages. If a brother, no, let me say it differently. Reuven and Leah stand under the chuppah with a very holy, knowledgeable rabbi. And they have a ring, which is a shove pruta, and it belongs to the chatan. And they're kosher eden. And Reuven takes the ring and says, Hari at mikudesh it, lady, puts it on Leah's finger. Are they married? Well, generally speaking, what would you say?
Yeah.
Except what? They're brother and sister. A brother cannot be Makadish, a sister. It has absolute, it would be the Kiddusha, that's what we say, Kiddusha lo tofsin, it's an irrelevant halachic act, right? If Reuven stands under the chuppah with a department store mannequin and says, Hariat Mekudeshitli, we do not call that marriage. It has no halachic validity. There are, however, all types of marriages which are forbidden. You're not allowed to enter into the relationship, but if you do, you're married. A Kohen and a divorcee, for example. It's forbidden for them to enter into such a marriage, but if they do, they're halachically married. Now, perhaps it's forbidden for them to continue to live together. Perhaps it's forbidden, there's a prohibition every time they have marital relations. But they are legally man and wife in the eyes of the halacha. If they get divorced, she needs a get. If Reuven, a Kohen, tells Shimon, a Shaliach, go and bring this Kesef Kiddushin to Leah, a Grusha, is that an Avera? It's an Avera. Ein Shaliach Ledvar Avera. So if Shimon goes and is Makadesh Leah, do we say it has no relevance because he was never the shaliach? Reuven was never able to authorize such a shlichut. If Reuven had done it himself, he's over the avera and they're married. But in terms of the shlichut, ein shaliach ledvar avera, it doesn't exist. Or do we say no? It's forbidden to make that shlichut. But if Reuven goes and Shimon goes and does it, he's committed an avera. Reuven might be off the hook of being Makadesh because he didn't do it himself. He didn't do the Shaliach. Right?
Off the hook in what sense?
There's an Isser for Reuven to be Makadesh Leah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So here, he wasn't Makadesh, he does it through a Shaliach, and ain't Shlihu Ledvar Aveira, so we don't say Shlucho Shel Adam Kemoto. Right? But nevertheless, the Kiddushin are Tofsin. Those are the two possible sides to what we say about ain't Shlihu Ledvar. We'll pick this up. We'll pick this up next week. Hello to everybody online. Michael, so nice to see you.
Thank you very much.
Well,
thank you.
Shalom, you have to come back next week.
We have time for a quick question.
We have time for a quick question.
So let's say the case of the Yitomim, and the Beit Din sells the property undervalued it or whatever, and then they want to go back mm-hmm. on it, right? So. The money that has to be returned, it has to be the whole amount of the amount that's more than a shtut, or theoretically you could take back a little bit of money and that just brings it right to the other end, the other side of the gvul of shtut.
Thank you.